The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. For those of you that listen to our show regularly, you'll know that we talk a lot about disruptive plays. And, there's a lot of disruption going on at the moment. But one of the reasons that we haven't seen a lot more disruption previously, particularly when the internet started in respect to the whole banking sector, is that, the idea of a pure play bank was one that, it was tough to do. One is, first of all, you still needed to have a charter. You still needed to be regulated. You still needed to have, capital adequacy requirements and all of these things if you wanted to act as a bank. In the explosion of the .com, there was a lot of businesses focused on changing the way commerce occurred. And there was a lot simpler ways to go about creating pure play digital businesses than going down the path of setting up a new banking charter. So back in the early days of the internet or the commercial internet in, say, the late 90s or early 2000s, we didn't actually see a lot of these pure play banks emerge. We saw ING Direct, we saw Egg, and a few, but there were relatively few examples of those. However, now today, what we're starting to see is the emergence of definite pure plays that are really using the web in unique ways, using mobile, using social media in very different ways, and have really fundamentally changed the mix, changed the way we think of what a bank can be. It doesn't have to be anymore a bank defined by the number of branches and the network and these typical mechanisms. And I'm very grateful to have on the show this week the founder of one of the standouts in this space, which is Fidor Bank from Germany, founded in Munich. And we have Matthias Kroner on. Matthias, welcome to Breaking Banks.
Hi, Brett. It's a big pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
So, we run into each other quite regularly, Matthias, but I don't think I've ever really heard the story of how Fidor came to be. So why don't you start off with that? What led you to the decision to go out on your own and create this phenomenal new approach to banking?
Well, actually, the thinking of Fidor Bank or Fido Bank, or in French, Fidor Bank, started back in 2006 when we as former bankers, our first bank which we set up was a continental European discount brokerage company, which you need to have a banking license for, actually, in Germany. When in 2006 we had a look to what is happening within the Web 2.0 environment and with the emerging social media activities. And by closely looking at this, we came to the conclusion that this development actually will affect the relation in between a retail banking type of thing and the retail customer. Because the customer, we've been totally sure, will not behave in the modern way when this guy is shopping or using his e-commerce platform or using his social media platform or, you know, doing whatever kind of a product rating on platform A and exchange of experiences on platform B. On the one side, which is a modern behavior, which is a digital behavior, and on the other side is simply accepting mid-agers' behavior with a bank. So this is why we said there will be a change, and this is delivering us enough of a reason to kick off a new concept, which is following this Web 2.0 development. So that was back in 2006, when we finally filed for banking license application. And by the way, yes, we've always been convinced that we need to have a banking license, and I hope we can discuss about that. When we finally filed for banking license application, that briefly happened before then the financial crisis or the credit crunch came to Germany. So the Web 2.0 development...
Hell of a time to start a bank. Hell of a time to start a bank just before the financial crisis.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't have done it better. timing was brilliant. Web 2.0 showed us that you can do a new banking type of thing. The crisis showed us you must do new banking. And what it, actually, in the beginning of this crisis, we've been thrilled, scared to death, actually, that this development will kill our application. Finally, we made it in May 2009, and we're in particular proud of that and thankful for regulators for supporting us in this process. On the other side, it happened to be that at the outcome, we are called now a so-called post-disaster concept, which gives us a high credibility towards our customer base on the one side. And on the other side, the crisis helped us to sharpen our concept and to really focus on the very important points, actually. And we learned within that crisis that everything around Web 2.0 helps us actually to overcome the total loss in trust of a customer towards his banking, towards his or her banking organization. So yes, in the beginning we've been scared. At the end, or now today, we are saying we are happy that it's not really happy, but we think we take the positive parts out of it.
So is there any special meaning behind the name Fido?
Well. the community builds up its own opinion, and our community is in particular active in doing interpretations and stuff like that. So our community actually found out that Spider is a specific form of declination of fidere, which is a Latin word and means I trust you, or I trust.
I see.
Fidere means I trust. And Fider actually would be the first, I don't know if this is correct English what I'm saying now, but first passivum, I am to be trusted. Okay?
Yeah, good.
But Brett, because it's your show, I'm honest. We didn't think about that when we set up the name.
But you'll take the credit for it anyway.
Yeah, so, that's good. You know, you've got a scoop on your show now, you know.
There you go.
Because when we thought about our name, actually, we thought what we are standing for, and we just said, yeah, we stand for innovation and ideas, and this is the I. We stand for distribution. This is the D. We stand for operative return and responsibility. This is the right. O, the O and the R. And actually, we ended up in saying this is called either, and we said either is something like nothing, you know. So we said, yeah, I'm happy to be in financial services. So this is the F. and we scrabbled it a little, and we checked the domains, and the domain was free, and this is the reason why it was called then Spider, actually.
That works
no
well.
Matter what, so this is, I'm happy with both stories, actually. So no matter what the meaning is, actually, we need to load up, as you as a marketing specialist know, we need to load up the name and the branding, and we need to make it meaningful, no matter whether it's a Latin word or if it's a Scrabble.
So tell us about those early days in terms of the team you put together and, you know, how you got started. You know, if someone wanted to come out of the gate and say, you know, I'd love to do something like this, you know, what did the team look like and how did you start the bank?
Yeah, so it all deals from day one on with social media and Web 2.0 based interaction. This is what I can tell in a summary. First of all, we made the crucial decision to say we need to have a banking license, and this is one of yours and with many other in our small community of innovative bankers, as you know. Frequently and ongoing discussion, actually. Do you really need a banking
license? And we will definitely talk about that on the show today.
Yeah, made the decision. So I keep it for later on. But we made the decision to do so, which affected us, of course, in our organizational setup. No doubt about it. Because having a full banking license, you have to have a different organizational setup compared to a company which is saying, "No, I do not need a banking license for whatever very useful and understandable reason." So. What I did actually is I frequently posted on Facebook or on Xing, which is the German version of LinkedIn. I frequently posted about the progress of our project, actually. And I posted, we're now applying for banking license. Now we're setting up the first step or version of our community. How do you like it? Check it. We are selecting a core banking partner and so on. And with almost each of those postings, actually, somebody out of our former banking network of the DAB Bank, showed up digitally saying, "Hey, Matt, guy, what's happening? Sounds cool. I'm just finishing a project. Can I join you? Let's rock it again, like in the old days," and so on. And by this Web 2.0 and social media-based communication, actually, an initial team of approximately 8 to 10 people came together and kicking it off in January 2010. So we did not have any kind of a problem to find skilled staff. We even knew that those guys who joined us via this way had the right attitude and culture, which was even more important to me than the skill set, or even still is today. I can say till today, this is going on. We have approximately 10% of feeder group staff acquired now in the meantime via our own proprietary community, feeder bank community, which in particular I think is extremely interesting.
So 10% of your staff have come from the community?
Yes.
That's very impressive.
Yes. They are actually, I think this is, this really, to be honest, Brett, this really thrills me totally. Because one might not know that Munich is a very favorable place in Germany. We have an unemployment rate which is approximately below 1%. You can estimate that there are a lot of highly skilled people. Everybody's in a good job. People are paid very well. And we've got really something going on which is called War of Talent, War for Talent. And I'm in particular happy that actually we have no problem in dealing with that, because people are registering, as you know, within the community. They find out, some of them, at least I'm happy, find out that this is a real cool concept, that it's totally different in comparison to any other kind of bank, that the way of acting and communicating and interaction is extremely different to any other bank. And at a certain stage, they begin or they become a customer. And after becoming a customer, some are really literally applying and saying, "Listen, I was a user, I'm a customer, I want to be an employee. How about it? Do you have a job for me?"
That's amazing. So let's get into this bank license or bank charter versus non-bank charter. You know, there's a lot of, you know, apart from the Moven and Simples of the world, there's a lot of players like the Dwalas and other. You're working recently with Ripple and some others who've quite successfully integrated into the social commerce sphere or built consumer businesses without a direct banking charter, because they've gone with a partner. Why was it that you felt it was necessary to own the stack and actually do the banking stuff?
Yes. Actually, we're following our very simple-minded, we're bankers, so we're simple-minded rule, which is if you want to hijack a plane, you have to sit in it. And this is saying everything. No, to be serious. We totally have full of respect of all those mentioned approaches, as you know, and we are cooperating with a lot of them, and if not today, it will be in future. But on the other side, we think that if you really want to change the core DNA of a banking product, you need to have the license to do this. Why? Of course, this is different from country to country. As we know, in the UK, for instance, you can set up something like Wonga without having a banking license. You just need a money lending license. It's not a full banking license. That's right.
Yep, yep.
In Germany, if you would do this, you would need, clearly would need a banking license. So yes, we know there are differences in regulation and all over the world in each country. But
so
in general, generally,
okay.
You speak.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, but it doesn't mean necessarily that if you'd launched in the UK, you wouldn't have still gone down the banking charter route, what does it?
No, it does. That's right. It doesn't mean it. But we are totally convinced that, as I said, if you want to change the core DNA of a product, you need to have the banking license. What does it mean, finally? That means, actually, if I'm not obliged, or if I'm not licensed to set up a product on my own, yeah, to create a credit as I want it to be, in terms of pricing, in terms of rules and regulations coming with this credit or loan product, in terms of process, in any meaning a banking product can have. If I have no banking license, I cannot change the product. I can report about the product within a gorgeous UX and a gorgeous customer interface. This is what I can do, not having a banking license. But if I want to really make it a new product, I need to have a banking license. And we are convinced that the banking products which we are having today in the market, and there I speak very generally from Europe to the US, from Russia, I don't mind, you know. There is a lot of room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement. We do not.
I don't think I disagree with you.
No. Yeah. It is. If I am a
systemic improvement, you're talking about from the ground up. But it's not enough just to put a new user experience on.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. It's of course. I can do it. I can improve the design and the look and feel and the user experience of the product. This is what I mean.
But there are some systemic things that are just fundamentally broken.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for this help in
looking for the right wordings, but this spread is exactly what I mean.
Absolutely. I agree.
And this is what I mean by saying to change the DNA of the product. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Matthias, let's just take a quick break, and then after the break, we can talk about how you launched into the market, the products you launched, and how you got the community involvement that you have got. You're listening to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. We've got Matthias Kroner. He is the founder, one of the founders of Fidor Bank in Germany. Do you call yourself the chairman now? Is that correct, Matthias? Or CEO?
Well, in German, I'm glad. I think you all will love it if you hear this. In German, I'm the Sprecher des Vorstands. And in English, it actually would mean I'm kind of the CEO, but it's not really a CEO role, but that's it.
Like an executive chairman role.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. All right, so we'll be right back after this quick break to find out more about Fidor. You're with Breaking Banks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Attend Payments 2014 to meet the forward-thinking leaders and disruptors who are transforming how we pay and get paid. Get a glimpse into the next wave of payments innovations and challenges through fast-paced interactive demonstrations, educational sessions, and a buzzing exhibit hall. Register now at payments.nacha.org. Payments 2014 is presented by NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, the recognized leader in payment system education. The Payments Conference, transform imagination into strategic innovation. Register today at payments.nacha.org.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it.
Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. Before the break, we were talking with Matthias Kroner about the foundation of Fidor Bank in Germany, based out of Munich, and the success they've had there. And I found it fascinating. 10% of his workforce has come through their community. You know, he told the story of, you know, these typical examples of people who use the product, love the product, talk about it in the community and say, I'd love to work with you guys. That is phenomenal community involvement and, you know, community building there. So well done. Now, Fidor, the social, Matthias, Fidor, the social element, you said that from day one, that it was important. So how did you go about creating momentum for Fidor, even before you had the first banking product out the door?
Yeah, well, creating this momentum is actually something which is maybe one of the most difficult tasks we had to face or still facing. Why? Because being an independent banking organization or being an independent bank means our budgets are in a specific way kind of limited. As a bank, and this is maybe one of the disadvantages of being a bank, you have to apply your tier one capital rules, and this is really like handcuffing yourself in terms of your flexibility regarding the spending for customer communication and acquisition, which you, to create a little bit of a buzz in the beginning, would need it. On the other side, this is increasing the need for creativity. This is increasing the need for going not normal ways, not the beaten track like you do affiliate marketing or ad campaigns, and then you pump in customers and then you go the normal way. No, you have to find something which makes it different. You have to find something people talk about and spread the word, actually. And there's no better place for doing something like that than the internet and then social media platforms or Web 2.0 platforms. So from day one on, we as the executive board or all our staff members heavily got involved and engaged in our community and took everybody serious in this community, talked to them in a digital way, offered them in the community different ways of easily organizing their exchange about financial services products, their exchange about experiences, a comparison of personal profiles, the rating and recommendation of products, rating of independent financial advisors, giving us suggestions for product development, giving other customers suggestions of how to save their spendings or reduce their spendings and save their money. Giving them a forum where they can ask questions the way they speak and not the way they think a bank needs to speak with them, and giving them answers and so on. So this was all set up in the very beginning and already there by 2009 before we received banking license. But when we received banking license, we said, okay, guys, in the community, you're first users. Now we talked about it, but let's stop talking. Let's get into the execution mode.
So I found it interesting that, you know, you actually, when you started launching your products, you actually had social media integrated from in respect to profiles of customers right from day one, didn't you?
Yes.
And how did that affect the way you could handle, say, something like, you know, the KYC process or the Know Your Customer process? Because I find the way you handle that really really progressive approach, which a typical bank would find almost impossible to replicate the way you've done that.
Yeah, compliance would kill you, maybe. but on the other side, it's mainly, Brett, as you know, it's mainly, and you've got a lot of contacts with classical and more traditional bankers, so maybe you share my view on this. It is in principle, nothing is impossible. It means only you have to think how to actually translate and adopt innovative developments of other industries into our banking industry. Now, coming to this KYC example, yes, we are offering a wallet or an account. It really depends on how you register. So if you register to what we call in Germany the e-money regulation, according to e-money regulation, which is something we also could call a reduced KYC level or a simplified KYC approach, the account we are offering is only giving you the possibilities of a normal wallet approach. If you do the full KYC, the same account suddenly will.
So it's just purely online. You don't get a debit card, but you can move money in and out of the wallet.
Exactly. So you can send the money closed loop to anybody. That's for sure. But you're right. You don't get a debit card. You have no access to saving certificates. You cannot trade FX. You cannot trade precious metal. Everything else you only can do if you are a fully KYC'd customer. So this means the account is behaving the way you are registering, which also is, to me, kind of a integration of the customer in the product development. Because if you do not want to, for whatever reason, do the full KYC process, and in each nation we are operating, it's different and differently stressy or a hassle or easy. It really depends on. But if you, for whatever reason, today do not want to do it, simply maybe because you're saying, I want to test it first. I want to see how this account or technology is working.
Sure.
You do not need to do it. Just put in your referral account with your standard bank you're operating with. Send some money in. This is it. Test it. You will see. If you do the
it seems to be so simple and make just perfect sense that you, as you deepen the relationship with the customer, you get to know them more instead of treating each individual product. Like if I was working with a conventional bank and I wanted to trade Forex or I wanted to get a debit card account or I wanted to get a savings account, each of those would be a separate KYC instance where I would collect the same information. Whereas you've taken this approach of, well, let's just, you know, if you need to trade or if you want to trade, that requires a different set of information. Or if you want credit, it requires more information than we have today. We'll just go and get just that information we need. It seems so straightforward that that's the way it should be.
And thank you very much for this judgment. The way we see and the way we are operating is actually what we learned, to be very honest, from Apple and the iPhone, because if iPhone would be as complex as banks are handling the KYC, for the download of every app, actually, I would need to have a fully new
terms and conditions, and
absolutely, that's
good. You know? I like that analogy.
Thank you. Yeah, this is why we call it the Fido Smart Cash Account. This is why it's called a smart cash account. It's not because we think smart is a cool marketing wording. Hey, our customers think they are smart using our boring account. No, that's not what we are up to. It's that we want to do this analogy to the smartphone. This is exactly why. This is why we are, and then we are coming to the tech piece of it. This is why it is an open infrastructure. This is why it is an open ecosystem. This is why we integrate via a API ring fence or infrastructure third-party offers, which we call an account app then. You can use it if you want. You can leave it if you don't like it and so on. So, but coming back to the KYC for a second.
Yep.
Step number two is getting registered for e-money. Step number three is getting the full KYC. Step number one is even easier. Step number one is getting registered for our community, which means you do a registration according to a community registration you are used to. In order to ease in the process for our customers and users, this is the status where we call you a user. If you are only using the community, we call you a user. Easy. If you're getting along and progressing, then we, of course, call you a customer. Not because we think the one is better than the other, but just to make a differentiation. To ease in the process, registering as a user, we are the only bank, of course, doing this community thing, but on the other side, allowing you to do a Facebook Connect process, actually. So it's damn easy to register.
Right.
Just click on Facebook
just
Connect.
Facebook.
We pull your credentials from Facebook. You just add your password. This is it. You know, you can't get easier onto this. I think, furthermore, so this is it's about convenience. It's about talking in the community, and I see this quite often, that we have a new registering person saying, hey, I heard about Peter Bank. Sounds odd, really strange. Is this really all true? I've heard about it. Yeah. Can anybody answer that to me? Sometimes I'm the first person answering after 5 minutes to this post, saying, hi, I'm the CEO, glad to have you here. If there's any question, let me know. And this I'm always comparing to your branch banking experience. When did you ever see the head of the bank in your branch? You know, never. Never.
Well, yeah,
exactly. When was the last chance you had the opportunity to talk to other customers in a branch? You're not the customer, by the way. You're just the user, okay? Asking customers in the branch, hey, is this a cool bank? How are these guys running this bank? Are they decent? You know, this all sounds too good to be true. You cannot do it. They will kick you out of the building. If it's not closed because of closing time or whatever.
It absolutely works. I'm reminded of one of my old pals who's an author, Jerry McGovern. He used to write on the web and you know, content creation and stuff like this, and very, very accomplished in the .com era in terms of talking about how content could be specialized. But he always used to say, we have to really push the community side rather than the fact that they're users, because the other thing that users do is they use you don't want to have the concept of being just users, like drug users. So fact is that it really has been this community aspect that's been at the core of what Fedor is as a brand, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and it's allowing us out of the corporate view. It's allowing us a very efficient onboarding process. As we all know, customer acquisition is one of the biggest cost blocks in a P&L of a financial or any service company, a retail company, no doubt about it. And that, of course, counts also for financial services and banks.
Because of this approach to KYC, your cross-sell and upsell must be so much simpler as well.
So I can tell you, Brett, that our cost of acquisition is below 20% of industry average.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. You know, I think if you think about why this problem exists in other financial institutions, it's fairly simple to identify that just even the way products have developed out and these departments have developed, you know, you can see these silos. And you can see such a stark difference how it's going to be so hard for a traditional bank. For example, it has a credit card business over here and an equities trading business over here and the current account, savings account over here. You know, you can see why today these guys need three separate sets of KYC for these products, because they're completely independent businesses. And trying to sort of integrate that customer profile. You know, a lot of bankers will talk about this, a centralized customer profile and things like that, or a common customer profile.
And as you know, it's always a huge project. It's an enormous project. Yeah. I recently heard and followed some blogs, or there was one blog in particular, discussing the pricing of the simple transaction. And some guys were really doubting that this is a fair value. no matter what this publicly shared opinion is about. But on the other side, I know a little bit about the BBVA motivation in the background. And first of all, because there was, you know, some said, okay, something like simple, just to be one example, yeah, something like simple, I can develop, or a team of developers could set up in 6 months from the scratch, and it would cost you, let me say, $500,000, okay? Yes, that might be right.
But
on the other side, it's everything what you just said is about it. And this is why I think BBVA, did it, is that they said, first of all, it is totally impossible to set up such a culture in our classical banking organization. So it's what we are acquiring is culture. I think this is a tremendous statement, Brett, because it is saying that for the first time we put, a number of culture in our balance sheet, and which is a significant number. And I think this cannot be underestimated at all. First of all. Second, whoever joined a big corporate banking project knows that it's not done by doing a, you know, whatever kind of a web layer and say, this is it, and off you go. It takes you in a environment of heritage systems, and this is the answer to why all those products are separated, why they cannot be consolidated, why there is a huge complexity in KYC, in the product itself, and the processes in the background, and so on. It's the heritage system landscape of those banks. Yep. Organizations.
Well, you've got banks like CommBank in Australia who've paid $2 billion in core systems replacement to try and fix this problem. So,
totally right. This is what our digital approach of all of us, you, Shamir from Simple, us, and everybody else, this is what it is finally about. It is not about that we now, as a boring banking organization with mediocre products and disintegrated services, now have a Facebook profile. This is boring. And I can't bore my customers with mediocre products also via Facebook. It's not cool. This is
uncool. It requires a fundamental shift in thinking about how the business functions and how it engages.
I couldn't agree more. And absolutely. I think you also mentioned this in one of your books. It really, you need to start thinking from your core banking from scratch. You need to think about your processes. You need to think about the consolidation of this heritage infrastructure. You need to understand what it means to refactor your code on a on a biannually basis or whatever. So it means to me now every 6 months or whatever. You need to understand what IT cost per user per year means actually to you as an organization. And we did an analysis. Once we calculated what the industry average in Germany of IT cost per user is per year, it's approximately 100 euros IT cost per maximum amount of users. So roughly some ballpark figure IT cost per user of Google or Facebook, and sorry, Google guys and Facebook guys, if I'm wrong, but then shoot me a mail and correct me, we guess it's something like 3 to 5 euros.
Yeah, and Chris Skinner has also done some fantastic analysis you would have seen on the cost per or the profitability per employee of organizations like Google, Apple, Facebook compared with banks, and there's no comparison. Banks are so far behind. But listen, Matthias, let's just take a quick break, and after the break we can continue discussing the launch of Fedor in Germany. We'll be right back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient efficiency for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kone's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking, with features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance. Kone apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit Kone.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's KONY.com/BK.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. We're talking with Matthias Kroner, the executive chairman of Fidor Bank in Germany. I can't remember how he pronounces it in German, but Matthias, you know, we were talking before the break about some of the innovations in the KYC side, but one of the most innovative things that Fidor was recognized quite early for was your support for virtual currencies. You know, within the Forex platform that you've built, you know, you can trade gold, you can trade Forex, and you've had from the get-go the intent of having, you know, virtual currency support as well. So what are your thoughts on Bitcoin as a bank?
Well, I think, first of all, yes, we've been open to any kind of a digital currency development because we think that a digital currency, to us being bankers, is a natural outcome and a natural consequence of a digital lifestyle. It was, to us, totally not surprising, I have to say, that a web-based economy is, on the one side, doubting the development of a so-called government currency, or as the critics say, a fiat currency, on the one side. Yeah. On the other side, as we can see, transaction costs for money is sometimes ridiculously high, ununderstandably high, and what we've learned, all of us, in the web industry is that if there is an inefficient market, and you can recognize an inefficient market by the commission, the one who offers it is receiving, if there is an inefficient market, it just takes a time that somebody will show up and say, listen, I do it more efficient and the cost is zero or close to zero. So the development of Bitcoin was all in all not a surprise. The development of other cryptocurrencies is a logical consequence to it. We fully
could argue that Bitcoin wouldn't exist if there was more efficient means to move money in the IP layer across border, right? Because that's sort of the problem Bitcoin solved. If the banking system worked in a more seamless manner for that and there wasn't all the KYC and suspicious transaction reporting and AML controls, then, you know, that make it tougher these days to actually transfer money, they've added friction into the system, and Bitcoin's fighting that friction.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would we have PayPal if the U.S. would not be still in love with their checking?
Absolutely,
system?
Absolutely.
No, we wouldn't. So yeah. this is The emerge of all major development is the inefficiency of the so far existing solution. And the currency and the currencies we have in our world are, with all respect, can be discussed as being inefficient. Totally can be discussed. You know, if there is a Federal Reserve pumping $80 billion per month into the market, I am... Yep. Absolutely not in a position to say, no, you cannot discuss this in a critical way. You know what I mean? You have to discuss it in a critical way because this means this really affects my personal wealth. So I love the web for the solutions they are coming up with. Not only, you know, like mourning and crying and, something bad is going on and I can't help it, but I can exchange it now on this platform. No, but what you can do is setting up a solution. You can code it. You can spread it. You find your supporters to it. And if you're good one day,
So if you create something with value, then it can thrive. Whereas previously, the barrier to entry was higher. You needed funding, all of those things. But, this very low friction environment for entrepreneurs.
I always compare it with the situation we particular had in Germany after the reunification. So we had the reunification of East and West Germany, as you know, and we had before the reunification we had a West Deutschmark and a East Mark. You can maybe remember, the East Mark was close to bankruptcy because the whole bloody state was close to bankruptcy. So that was the reason why they had to surrender. Their system, actually, had to surrender. And the German government those days under Helmut Kohl did a political decision in saying, okay, for political reasons, which might be good and not to be criticized by me now, but just take it as an example. For political reasons, the exchange ratio of Deutschmark to Eastmark or Westmark to Eastmark will be one Westmark is worth two Eastmark.
Yep.
Mathematically, that was a joke. It should have been, I don't know, I can't remember it now precisely, but at least 1 to 20 would have been a fair value, So there was no acquisition power in this money. It was just, so what they created by this was a bubble, a classical bubble. In those days, Brett, you could not get out of the system. Today, I could now jump to my PC or my mobile. I could exchange my money in a split second into another currency, maybe Norwegian crowns, maybe a U.S. dollar, whatever kind of a currency I trust in. I wait till the bubble bursts, and then I go back in my home currency and acquire it in a cheaper level, and so on. I can react. I can respond. I can take maybe even advantage out of that.
The possibilities of virtual currency are endless, aren't they, in that space? But let's focus a little bit more on where Fedor's going. Where are you at today? And in terms of your growth in Germany, and I know you're expanding, you're internationalizing Fedor. So tell us. I know you've just you're experimenting in Russia at the moment. So tell us a little bit about your expansion of Fedor and where you go from here.
Well, actually, it's a good point actually to come from the Bitcoin and to go into our international rollout strategy now because it is the Bitcoin that drives us a little bit. Whenever we do a press release,
can you explain how that is?
Yeah, whenever we do with one of our partners, and some of them are U.S. based, and just want to say hello via this way to them, and I'm very thankful that they contact us whenever they need us and so on. So. Those partners, whenever we do a press release, like for instance with Kraken Payboards and so on, this is really, if you follow it on Twitter, this is like a shockwave in a positive meaning all over the planet. Like, it first of all starts in English. And I would say after 1.5 days, you have the Chinese postings on it. The Japanese postings on it. It takes 2 days to get the Russian postings on it. Without any irony, it takes approximately 5 days to get the French postings then. But bonjour. But that's really funny to follow it. It's really like a pattern. And this is really bringing us around the globe, and you believe it. But the phrase would be, you wouldn't believe how many requests we're getting from the valley after that. And this is really pushing us. Or even pulling us like westwards. So we think about your hemisphere in which you're living. Yes, you're right. We're doing our first baby steps in Russia. We have a joint venture partner in Russia for Fedor Wu. Why Russia? I think Russia is a very interesting market. Of course, population is by far not wealthy like a Western civilization.
Yep.
But on the other side, it's 160 million online population. That's a huge market. And we have efficient banking, we have efficient processes and so on. So I think even that we are in the position to service a customer and user group in a more efficient way, and this is needed if you have to service a customer group which is not that wealthy, or the ticket sizes are not that like in Western Europe. So So from Moscow to whatever state in the U.S. Or next precise, but U.S. I would say is more like maybe in between theoretical and wishful thinking. But the clearly next precise.
So is the model that you're deploying, are you deploying as a service? Is it a franchise model? Are you licensing it? Are you setting up charters in these separate markets you're going into? What's the mode of expansion that you're using?
So in Europe, this answer is pretty easy to give because we have a European having a German banking license means we have a European passport. Yes. This means we can do banking all over Europe. This means that in the core markets, we will do.
So do you currently have customers outside of Germany that use Fedor?
We have the first Russian users, not customers, and we will kick off UK in this year.
Okay.
So that's already something. Talking about all what we've done, you should bear in mind that the three companies which are Fedor Group, which is Fedor Tax, we have a tech company, we have a payment service company, and we are the bank, of course. Yep. All in all, count heads, which is approximately 100 people, heads, including students, including freelancers, including all fixed contract partners and so on.
That in itself is a pretty impressive. Well, we've only got about 3 minutes left, Mateo. So tell us about your upcoming developer day or your hackathon that you've got and what your objectives are there. When's that happening?
The first developer day is happening on the 26th of June, and we will communicate a lot of stuff afterwards in the web.
Is that in Munich?
That's in Munich. So this is like a point one developer stay, which means this is where we are. We will ask people what is your priority, in which way should we go, and so on. So again, integrating the web community, we ask them which is your priorities and what should be our strategy. We will have then developer days, of course, again in Germany. We will have some in 2014. We'll have one in Russia. And, of course, we will have one in the UK as well pretty soon. And no matter where we will show up as Fedor brand, we will organize a developer day or a hackathon. So I think this is in particular interesting because it allows us to get in contact with those kind of entrepreneurs and developers who have great ideas, who have app ideas, which we then can integrate in our account, which for them makes it possible to use our infrastructure to leverage our banking license to access an increasing customer number. We have approximately 300,000 registrations in our community today.
So now using the community to build on that platform and create
absolutely.
New innovations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So listen, in the 30 seconds we got left, where's Fedor going to be in 5 years' time, Mateusz?
In 5 years' time, we are definitely a global company. We will have a balance sheet which is above a billion, and we will have at least, I would say, 5 million registrations.
Fantastic. Well, it's been fantastic to have you on the show today. I learned some more things about Fedor that I hadn't, and as always, you're very articulate and a great, really passionate about the brand and what you're doing. So thanks very much for joining us on Breaking Banks today, Mateusz.
Thank you very much, Brett, for giving me this opportunity. And all the guys, please excuse my German English. I hope you can understand.
It's fine. So you've been with Breaking Banks. That was Matthias Kroner from Fedor Bank in Germany. Check them out. Fedor.de is their website, and they are doing some great things. You've been once again with the Breaking Banks podcast radio show. We'll speak to you guys again next week. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.